Well, I invite you to turn with me this evening as we now turn to hear God's word read and preached, to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This evening we'll be hearing from and considering the parable of the sower that Jesus gives here at the beginning of Matthew 13. And by way of introduction, here in the first 9 verses, Jesus gives this parable, and then in 18 through 23, he explains the parable. And in between these two texts, there's a section in which the disciples ask, and Jesus answers why he gives parables at all. And so while this evening we'll focus particularly on the parable and its explanation, we'll also read the verses in which Jesus explains why he gives parables, because it helps us understand what Jesus is doing in the parable of the sower. So now let's give attention to the reading of God's word. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1, it says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's come to him in prayer now. Well, Lord, as we come to your word, we give thanks for the holy scriptures that we have. We ask that you, O God, would send out your light and your truth, and that you would lead us in your paths. Your law, O Lord, is perfect. Your testimonies are sure. Your precepts are right. Your commandments are pure. Use them now, we ask, to sanctify us in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in the 16th century, one of the greatest, most influential Puritan theologians and pastors was a man named Richard Greenham. Greenham was a minister in the village of Dry Drayton in England. He was a parish pastor and minister there for many years. And during his time as a pastor at this congregation, he was well known and highly respected in his pastoral work. Many have written about the significance and importance of the pastoral care and preaching and counseling that he would give. In fact, historians have noted that he was even so renowned for this that other Puritan pastors and ministers would send their own congregants who had particularly difficult cases to him. One historian notes that his friends came to regard Greenham as, quote, the paradigmatic godly pastor. And yet one of the other reasons that Greenham is so well known and notable is because of the lack of evident fruit that came forth in the ministry of his own congregation. See, as he ministered and labored and preached the gospel in his own congregation, there was a lack of strong response to his preaching of the word there. Apparently, there was even a saying that went around at the time that went like, Greenham has pastures green, but fox full lean. And this struggle that the Greenham faced of a lack of fruitful response to the ministry of the gospel is not a new one. In fact, it's one of the struggles that Jesus and his disciples faced in the Gospels. And it's the exact kind of issue that Jesus is addressing in our passage this evening. So if you consider the context before our passage here in chapter 13. In chapter 10, Jesus sends forth his 12 disciples to go preach the good news of the kingdom to the lost house of Israel. And as he does so and commissions them to go preach, he prepares them for the rejection of the gospel that they will face. He tells them that there will be those who will not receive the gospel, and that when that happens, they are to shake the dust off their feet and to move on to another town. But not only will there be those who reject the gospel, but there will be those who persecute them for preaching the gospel. And in chapter 12, right before our passage, this chapter is characterized by the Pharisees and other leaders of Israel disputing with Jesus, challenging his works and the gospel that he was preaching. And the chapter even finishes, if you look at the verses right before ours, with Jesus' own mother and brothers seeking to pull him away from his preaching ministry. See, at this point in Matthew, there has often been rejection of and opposition to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And so in our passage this evening, Jesus speaks this parable of the sower, which is about the preaching of the gospel and its reception. We must remember that the parables are allegorical stories, illustrations that Jesus uses to show forth truths about himself, his work, and the kingdom that he is bringing. And the parable of the sower this evening reveals to us that the kingdom of heaven comes in the preaching of the gospel, and that this preaching of the gospel is often met with rejection and with unfruitful reception. And yet this parable also teaches us that the word of God is effectual, and it will bring forth fruit. See, what Jesus is doing here in the verses that we have is pulling back the curtain, as it were, and giving us a behind-the-scenes view, a look into how the gospel message goes forth and how it is received. And so the truth of this parable is incredibly important for us as the church and for you as Christians this evening. Because we so often, as we partake in the work of sowing the seed of the gospel, experience the same challenges and disappointments of those who reject and will not receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think many of you know and have experienced this firsthand, haven't you? We all know of family members and friends, neighbors, even coworkers who we've shared the gospel with, who have come to church and heard the preaching of the gospel and yet have never received it with a saving understanding. You may have even seen members and those around the church who have initially received the gospel and yet have eventually turned away from it. And so we need the truth of this parable this evening to help us understand what we see in our Christian lives. We need to understand this view of the reception of the gospel that it gives to us. And so as we approach this parable this evening, we must first ask, what is the reception of the gospel that Jesus here pictures? What is it that he is describing as the reception and the receiving that the gospel has as it goes forth? One of the first verses of our passage, we see the setting in which Jesus gives this parable. He's just left the house, we saw at the end of chapter 12, in which he was preaching, and he goes forth, and great crowds are following him. And so many crowds and people are following him that he eventually has to go sit in a boat while the whole crowd stands on the shore. And so Jesus there preaches to him, and it says that he preaches a list of parables. And so this parable that we have this evening is the first in this line of parables that Jesus is giving to the crowd. And as he begins to tell this parable, we see the imagery and the images that he is using to make his point. Namely, he's speaking of a sower of seed going out and sowing the seed that he has on the ground. And Jesus, in verse 19, if you look, explicitly connects this picture of a sower sowing seed with the preaching of the gospel. The picture is that the gospel is proclaimed, you see, not only to some people, but it's proclaimed to all people. This is a general offer of the gospel that Jesus is here picturing. Ministers and preachers of the gospel, and you as Christians as well, are to proclaim the word of God to all people without regard for who they are. Even here, as the sower casts his seed wherever he goes. And so here, as the seed of the gospel is preached and sown to all, Jesus gives us four categories, or four kinds of soil on which the seed of the gospel falls. You see, his emphasis here in the parable is not on the seed itself, but it's on the soil on which the seed falls. For it's the same seed in each of these four situations and categories that's cast forth. The gospel message doesn't change, but what changes is the people who receive it. And so Christ gives us this evening four kinds of soils, four kinds of responses to God's word that we must understand. So first we see that there is the soil along the path. The soil along the path. Jesus describes this in verse 19, where the seed is sown and falls along the path, but as he describes, there is no soil for the seed to actually take root. It has no place to place its roots and therefore to flourish and grow, and so immediately birds come and snatch away this seed. See, what Jesus is describing here in this image is the kind of person who hears the gospel, maybe even often hears the gospel, and yet it takes no effect because they do not understand what is preached. As one commentator says, this is the kind of person who hears the gospel and it goes in one ear and goes out the other ear. You may here be able to recognize people that you've known, people who have come and even sat in church, heard the word preached, may even be able to articulate points of doctrine of the gospel and of who Jesus is, but have never truly and savingly understood its message. But notice the important point that Jesus here makes about how this seed becomes unfruitful. The point that he makes is that it not only just dies of itself, but that it is taken up by the evil one, by Satan, who comes and snatches the word away. See, the truth that Jesus is proclaiming here is that Satan is actively seeking, actively working to destroy the word of the gospel as it goes forth. And here it's successful because this person, as Matthew Henry says, pays no mind to the truth of the gospel. Pays no mind. And so Satan is able to immediately snatch away the truth of the gospel from his heart. So first we have the soil along the pathway, and then Jesus just goes on to describe a second kind of soil, which progresses from the first soil. See, that the first soil has no effect of the gospel, and yet the second soil begins to see some kinds of fruit, some kinds of effects of the preaching of the gospel. And yet, if we were here to describe what kind of effects is produced. In one word, it would be temporary. Temporary. See, what Jesus pictures is a seed which has no depth of soil. It lands on rocky ground, and so there is no depth for it to place roots and to be rooted in the soil that it has. This is when the gospel goes forth and maybe immediately, it says, received with joy. There may be some kind of fruits and evidences of the effects of the gospel in the life of a person, yet it ultimately is temporary because it bears no root in the life of the individual. The writer to the Hebrews describes this kind of person, and this is the kind of person that we see often described in the New Testament, even as the apostles and Paul and John describe individuals and their letters of those who have deserted them and rejected them. These were people who once received the gospel and showed forth fruit. But listen to the way that the writer to the Hebrews describes this kind of individual. In Hebrews chapter 6, he writes that there are those who have, quote, once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. See, this kind of reception, this person who hears the gospel has no root. And so when the troubles and persecutions that come on account of the word, and they will come, Jesus says, when they do come, this person is not able to bear up under hardship. This person cannot persevere because true perseverance only comes through receiving the gospel. This is the kind of person that John describes in his letters, who went out from us, he says, because they were never truly of us. And so we have a window into the soil along the path, Jesus says, the rocky soil. And now thirdly, he describes a soil which is filled with thorns. See, Jesus here identifies that there are several things, several aspects of the world that can cut off and stop the fruits of the word from growing up in a person. And namely, he identifies the cares and anxieties of this world, along with the deceitfulness of riches. See, the things of the world, Jesus says here, are things that are actively competing against and warring with the fruit of the gospel in the lives of individuals. I think one example in the scriptures that so clearly illustrates this kind of reception of the gospel would be the rich young ruler in the Gospels. You may remember this story. See, in the Gospels, there's describes a rich young man who comes to Jesus, and he's desiring to know how he might gain eternal life. He says that he's kept all the commandments, he's done everything that the law has called him to do, and now he wants to know, how can I gain the eternal life that Jesus is preaching? And so we see that Jesus there tests him. And he tests him by calling him to give away all his earthly possessions. But the scriptures record that the rich man goes away sorrowfully. And why is he sorrowful? Because he loved the possessions that he had. And he was full of the cares of this world. And therefore, he was not able to truly receive the gospel. And yet, perhaps in all of scripture, there's no better illustration of this kind of reception than Judas, is there? Judas, who was one of the apostles of Jesus Christ from the beginning, called by Jesus, one of those, as we saw earlier in chapter 10, who was actually sent out to preach the gospel. Judas traveled with Jesus, saw his works firsthand, even preached the gospel himself as he was sent out. And yet, in the end, he betrays Jesus Christ. Why does he do this? It was the deceitfulness of riches, wasn't it, that caused him to betray the Lord Jesus Christ? See, he desired the wealth of this world over the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus is describing here is that there are sinful desires and cares of this world which choke out the fruit of the gospel. And so we see that there's seed along the path. There's soil along the path. There's soil on rocky ground. There's soil among the thorns, and all of these are unfruitful receptions of the gospel. And yet there is a final kind of reception of the gospel that Jesus here pictures. There's a fourth category of soil that he gives to us, and that is, he says in verse 23, the good soil, which is the one who hears the word and understands it. See, unlike the other soil, this is one who not merely hears the word externally, but one who understands the gospel. If you notice, as Jesus describes all these different categories, each of these people hear the gospel. They hear the word. And yet it's only one who both hears and understands it. Only one who hears and understands it. And he says that this is a person who bears fruit 100-fold, 60, and even 30. Multiple levels of fruit that's produced on this good kind of soil. And I think what Jesus here describes in this kind of reception of the gospel is shown forth and exhibited to us in the scriptures, in the reception of the gospel that the Thessalonian Christians have in the New Testament. Remember the way that Paul describes and commends the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians for how they received God's word and the preaching of Paul and the other apostles. Listen to the way that Paul describes them. He says there, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." See, this kind of reception of the Thessalonian Christians is what Jesus is here picturing. And so Jesus, in this parable, reveals to us how the kingdom comes and how it is received. It comes forth with often rejection, and yet it finds good soil to bear fruit, he says. But understanding what Jesus is saying in this parable leads us to a second and even more important question. And that is to consider, what is the purpose of this parable? What is Jesus telling us? What is he leading us to understand by giving us this picture of how the gospel is received? And what are we as God's people supposed to take from it? I think there are two particular things that we are to receive and to take from this parable that Jesus gives us this evening. First, Jesus gives us this parable to cause you to consider how you receive God's word. For see, Jesus, before he explains this particularly to his disciples, he initially is proclaiming this to the crowd. This is a parable that is about them and how they receive the gospel. And he calls them, if those who have ears, to truly hear and understand what he's saying here. And so this evening, Christ is calling you to consider how you receive God's word. To consider what kind of barriers there are to a fruitful reception of the gospel. Maybe you're here this evening and you've never truly received and understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here Christ would call you to consider the things that are causing you not to receive the gospel. He calls you to consider the things that he has put forth here, the persecutions and troubles that come on account of the word, that choke it out. See, there are many things that they're actively working against a saving understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even this evening, the gospel is presented to you and calls you to wisely consider the things that prevent you from receiving the gospel, the foolishness that pulls you away from the truth of the gospel, and to turn and receive the Lord Jesus Christ truly. Yet also, for those of us who truly are united to Christ by faith, who are Christians and members of his church, and who have joyfully received God's word as he describes here in the good soil, even here we're called to consider how we respond to God's word continually. For even as we receive the gospel once, we know that we're called to continually receive the gospel and bear forth fruit. We're called to continually cultivate within us good soil for the Word of God to find and bear forth its fruit and its good works. But you might ask, how can I fruitfully receive the Word of God? How can I prepare myself to continue in this kind of fruitful reception? I think our shorter catechism in question 90 helps us so powerfully think about this kind of question. And there in question 90, it asks how the Word of God is to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation. And this is what it says. That the Word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with what? With diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love, and lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. See, we as Christians are called to be those who love the Word of God, love the preaching of the Word of God, and therefore we diligently prepare to hear it preached. We read the portion of Scripture that's going to be preached this coming Lord's Day. We think about, through the week, the sermons that we've heard. We prepare for the preaching of God's Word. We pray for God's blessing upon His preaching and upon our reception of the preaching of God's Word. See, this is what it's here describing about how we can fruitfully cultivate good soil in our hearts. And Christians, think about what kind of blessing and fruitfulness would come with this kind of preparation, with this kind of diligent attendance unto the preaching of God's Word. So in this parable, we're called to consider how we respond to God's Word, and yet there is a further and even deeper purpose for which Jesus gives this parable of the sower. And that is that it gives us, as the church, a realistic picture of how the kingdom comes, even in our times and in our days. For we as the church have the same task to continue to sow forth the seeds of the gospel to all people. And we do this in our own ways, in the ways that God has provided for us. Some are ministers and preachers who preach God's word, yet even as Christians, we're called to continually share in this ministry of the gospel and to speak of the gospel to those that we know, family members, friends, neighbors. We continue in this work of sowing the seed of the gospel. And as we do this work, even as we noted before, there are continual disappointments and discouragements, aren't there? We see and experience, as we do this, all these kinds of bad soil. And as we do so, it's easy to be tempted to be dismayed, and to be discouraged when we see this fact that many do not receive the gospel. Many, in fact, that we love and that we pray for continually. But what Christ teaches us in this parable is that the gospel will be sowed often upon bad soil. And this is not a mistake that this happens. For think about what Christ has just described earlier in his explanation of why he gives parables. He says that there are those and many who have hardened themselves to the truth of the gospel. And therefore Christ preaches in such a way that they are further hardened in their rejection of the gospel. See, this parable pictures to us the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a mistake that many reject the gospel. And so here this evening, this parable teaches us that we ought not be discouraged and dismayed when there are those who reject the gospel, when there are those who do not bear fruit. And yet at this point, you might think that this is sort of a gloomy kind of parable. All it's speaking about is and emphasizing is all the kinds of soil that doesn't receive the gospel. But while Jesus here teaches that the kingdom comes with and goes forth amidst rejection and opposition, at the same time, he says, it also comes forth in power. And the gospel seed which goes forth is effectual. So we ought not to be mistaken and think that the sowing of the gospel here is a failure because it's rejected by many. But it's not a failure, for Jesus says that the seed of the gospel does find good soil, and it does bear abundant fruit. Jesus Christ will bring forth fruit by the preaching of his gospel. He will reveal the mysteries of the kingdom, which he here describes, to those whom he has chosen. And this is what he says to his disciples as he describes to them why he preaches parables. He says that they have blessed eyes and blessed ears because they have been revealed and have seen the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Christ Jesus himself, by his Spirit, cultivates good soil within our hearts so that the word will increase and bear forth fruit. So even this evening, as we're not to be dismayed and surprised at the rejection of the gospel, we also have confidence that God's word is effectual, that as we preach it, it will bring forth fruit. God will bless the preaching of his word. Remember what God declares in so powerfully in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 55, he declares this: "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word," God says, "be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So in this parable, Jesus gives us a realistic picture and view of how the gospel goes forth and how the kingdom comes. May we pray that God's word would find good soil amongst us, good and fruitful soil that brings forth not only 30, not only 60-fold, but 100-fold fruits. And even as we pray this, we know that there will be rejection and disappointment. And yet we also know that Christ will bless and make fruitful the sowing of his gospel as it goes forth. And so may we pray that Christ would do this amongst us, and pray that he would bless continually the preaching of his word, and as the gospel goes forth out amongst us. Let us pray to that end. Our God and Father, we give thanks that you have chosen to reveal the secrets of your kingdom to your people. We give thanks for the joys of the gospel that we, O Lord, whom you have revealed Christ unto, have blessed eyes and blessed ears, for we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the one which righteous people and prophets of old longed to see. Lord, we ask that your word would find fruitful and good soil amongst us, that we would be a people who bear forth to 100-fold the fruits of the gospel in our lives. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.